I'd like to invite your attention to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And I'm going to read this verse for you in your hearing again. The words of the Apostle Paul, as God inspired him, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, previously, he has defined some things that were different in his life, how to be abased and to abound, and how to be full and how to be hungry, how to abound and how to suffer need. And then, concluding with all of that, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And the title of my sermon this morning is The Can-Do Attitude. The Can-Do Attitude. Would you join with me in a moment of prayer? Our dear God and our eternal Father, I kneel before you as the Lord our Maker. And I beg in the name of Jesus for the outpouring of your Spirit upon the preaching and hearing of your Word. It is so very important in our lives because it is a means by which you're glorified and Christ is glorified because you're the one who gave the words. You inspired them by the Holy Spirit. Paul was but an instrument in thy hand. And so, Lord, as you have given them to us through your word today, bless and help me to preach your word in a way can be understood by thy dear people. And bless, O Lord, each one here in receiving thy word, that it will be a help and an encouragement to them. Help us all, O Lord, in the light of your truth to live our lives each day, that day by day our lives may renown to thy glory. We do realize that there are some away from us that's traveling. Again, we ask your blessing of safety and thank you for the blessings you've given those who recently traveled and are back. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy and your grace so rich in all of our lives. We're thankful to be a part of the body here where we may meet together in your worship and praise. And thankful, Lord, for each one here. And beg your continued blessings, dear Lord, day by day as we meet, what we do and say will be acceptable in thy sight. And you'll bless us as a church and bless us as individual members of the body, that we'll just grow in grace and grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that we humbly pray. Amen. There are a lot of different categories that we put people in. And have always been that way, I guess. We talk about people who are old and young and tall and short. And another one that we don't often hear so much is that some people are a pessimist and some are an optimist. Now, I would say that probably, the truth being known, all of us at some time are pessimists. And at other times, we're more optimistic. And I say that to distinguish between the other categories that people fall into, because we can't do anything much about our age, and we can't do anything much about our height or our shortness, but we can do something about being a pessimist. And this is the can-do doctrine or teaching or attitude, as I call it, that we're looking at today. I can. Notice that. I can. Not a can't. We all use that one too much, don't we? I'll just tell you this about me. My parents raised me up to behave myself. I didn't always do it. But I only got one paddling at school. But I remember it well. And the reason I got the paddling was, I was a very, very shy and bashful boy. And the teacher one day asked me to come up to the front of the room and tell them something that she wanted me to tell them. And I said, I can't. She said, don't you tell me you can't. You come up here. And I said, I can't. She said, you wait after school. I got my first and only paddling because I used the words, I can't. And I really, as a child, I guess, felt like I couldn't. But this doctrine, brothers and sisters, is telling us that we can. I can. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now that begins to define what we're talking about. It doesn't say I can do all things boundless in limitation. It doesn't say that. It is not saying if I decide that I'm going to try to jump over this church house that I can do it. And I can't. I can't run fast enough to keep up with the trucks on the interstate and cars. There are limits on all of us and our abilities. And so this is not saying that whatever we think we can do, and we hear people say that sometimes, you know, if you can dream it, it'll come true. That's misleading in the sense that's not true, because there are a lot of folks who are dreaming about things and they spend all their lives waiting and they never come true. But this is about being a positive and more optimistic person, and I'm one who needs this message, whether or not you do today. I need it. Because I need to understand that there are things I can do because Christ is the strength of my life. Now, having said that about being a young, bashful boy, when God called me to preach, I want to tell you something. I was grown up by then, but I was still that bashful and shy boy that I grew up being. And I really did not know how I would ever be able to stand up in front of a group of people and read the Word of God and try to preach the Word of God. But the Lord burdened my heart to the degree and to the extent that I finally found there was no peace and joy in my life unless I yielded myself and submitted to His will. And I talked to the Lord about that, and I said, Lord, I'll try, but You're going to have to open the doors. I can't. And from that time on, I've tried to look at it in that way. I can preach if God will bless me to preach. If God doesn't bless me to preach, I can't preach. You know how I know that? I know that from experience. Because there have been times, for various reasons that I might not have understood, that God has simply pulled back and I've stood in the pulpit and I've made a terrible failure of an effort to preach. And I know that. And I've sometimes gone home with a heavy heart telling my wife, I didn't preach a lick today. I just couldn't feel the Spirit of God in preaching. So the Lord has taught me the truth of this verse of Scripture, that I can do all things only through Christ, which is my strength. So we're talking about spiritual endeavors. Now, here's why this is so vastly needed. There is no way to ever be able to determine how much more God's church and cause and kingdom in the earth might have accomplished over the years if it were not for the fact that many a time a preacher or someone else has been asking the church, well, how about you doing this? And they say, oh, I can't do that. And so the can't attitude has held back the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this world, in that we have not accomplished everything that might have been accomplished. Every talent has not been fully used because the idea is, well, I can't do that, without ever praying about it, without ever saying, well, now, wait a minute, the Bible says I can. If the Lord wants me to do it, the Lord's going to give me grace, and I can do it through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So that's kind of an introduction about where I am and why I'm trying to bring this sermon that the Lord's put on my heart this morning. Now, many years ago, some of you may remember this man, there was a television minister. One of the first I recall having known, really, or seen on television, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. Anybody remember that name? He wrote a book, The Power of Positive Thinking. And it was a bestseller, I think, for many, many years. And the point that he was making is that we need to be more positive in our thinking. Now, I don't know if he used this verse of Scripture. I don't recall that I ever had a copy of it. But I do know he could have used this verse. He could have said, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. And thus, that's the foundation of positive thinking. Now, if we want to be a more positive thinker, if we want to be able to say, as did the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, there are three things that we need to focus our heart and our attention on in order to be able to do that. Number one, we need to remember and consider the greatness of God's power. You see, if left to ourselves, there's an awful lot we can't do. If left to me, I can't preach. If left to me, I'd be an utter failure. But there's so much we can do with the blessings of God upon us. Why? Because God is a sovereign God. In Revelation 19, 6, verse 6, it says, Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Our God is a sovereign God. You think about God. What does it mean that God is a sovereign God? It means there are no limits on the power of God. And we've got to think about the power of God, ponder the power of God, because when we adhere ourselves to this particular verse of Scripture, it is not about my power. It isn't about my strength, nor your strength and your power. It is the power of God that we've got to trust in. We've got to be able to say, well, I'll try it. I can do it. If God will help me, I know I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So the power of God is foremost in our thoughts, in trusting in God. And when you think about the power of God, the psalmist said long ago, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? Listen to this. My help, he said, cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. You see, in Psalm 121 in verses 1 and 2, where the psalmist is talking about his help coming from God, he is saying, why, my God is strong enough, and my God is powerful enough, and my God is big enough that it doesn't matter what's out there ahead of me. God, if he could speak the world into existence, if he could say, let there be light, and there was light, if he could take a little clay or dust, a foreign man of the dust of the ground, and it's called clay in another place. But if God took us from the earth and formed and fashioned man, Adam, and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul, God can do that. God can help me to preach, can't he? He can help you in whatever objectives you have in his cause and his kingdom. He can. We can because he can. You say, yes, but you're talking about God now. And this is saying through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Well, I realize that, but now remember this. Christ is God. He was God manifest in the flesh. Seen of angels. Preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. And received up into glory. He's God. And as God, he states, in the last verses of the Gospel of Matthew, he says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. That's what Jesus said. If you've got a red letter edition of the Bible, you'll see that that's what he said, the words of Christ. And that's in Matthew 28, verse 18. Now, here's the interesting thing about that, brothers and sisters. The very next verse, he was telling the disciples what they needed to do. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now put those two together and think about it. Jesus, just before he was going to send them out to preach and teach, just before he said for you to go and do that, he reminded them that he, Jesus, had all power. And he would be with them unto the end. Now, I believe that what he was doing was simply helping them to understand this truth. You men can't go out there and make a difference in that world by yourself. But I'm going to be with you. And I have all power in heaven and earth. And therefore, what I can do through you is the thing you need to keep your attention focused on. See, brothers and sisters, this thing Jesus said in John 15 and verse 5, without me, you can do nothing. He had talked about the vine. He said, I'm the vine and you're the branches in the earlier verses. He painted a mental picture for us to see a grapevine. How there's this vine that grows out of the ground and sprouts out in all the branches on the arbor. And he said, I'm the vine. You're the branches. In other words, you're dependent upon me. If you go out to a grapevine and you take a chainsaw and you cut the vine in two, all the branches will wither and die. Because the source of their strength and the source of their life is through the vine that grows out of the earth and spreads out to give and transfer to them the strength and nutrition they need. And so he brings that to their attention. And so then it is after that he simply reminds them, without me you can do nothing. And that's in the fifth verse. So we understand, as Paul, who wrote this, understood, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. And so we understand then what Paul is saying and what Jesus was saying to his disciples. You can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. Now, one more verse on the power of God before I move to my second point. There was a time when Jesus made a statement that many people today don't understand, and they didn't understand it then. Said it is harder or more difficult for a rich man, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. He's making a comparison there. For a camel to go through the eye of the needle, for the rich man to go into the kingdom of God. My understanding, I don't want to get into a sermon on that, but that there was a place called the eye of a needle, and the camels had to really get down and almost crawl through it. So it wasn't easy on them. And so it isn't easy for people who have a lot of the resources of the world to focus their attention on the things that are spiritual in the kingdom of God. It is not an easy task. And that's what he's saying. Now, the disciples then asked the question, and I think it grew out of that, to say, Lord, who then can be saved? If it's so hard to get in the kingdom, who in the world is ever going to be saved? And here's what Jesus answered. And I'll say this, and then I'll move to my next point. With men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And that is in Matthew 19, verse 26. I'm just trying to lay the foundation to say, whenever you are challenged in your heart, when you read the Word of God, when you begin to think, God is speaking to my heart. God is speaking to me through that sermon. God is speaking to me through His Word. God is speaking to me through some other saint. And I've come in my heart to realize that's something God wants me to do, but I don't understand how in the world I'm going to do it. Then you remember, but I can do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Whatever He requires of us, we can do it. He will give us strength. So, before we're ever going to receive this attitude, this can-do attitude, number one, we got to be focused on the power of God. Number two, we've got to also use the faith God has given to us. Now, you say, well, do I have faith? Well, I think you do. I'm going to make a rather extensive statement, a blanket statement, you might call it, to say that everyone who has been born again has faith in them. I believe that to be the teachings of the Bible. And I'll tell you why I believe it. Because in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, if you got an apple tree, the fruit of the apple tree is an apple. If you have an orange tree, the fruit of the orange tree is the orange. And what that is telling me is that the Holy Spirit, when He comes and indwells us, and we are born again because God lives in us through the Holy Spirit in our hearts, Because we are born again, that Holy Spirit living within us begins to produce fruit in our lives. And just one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is that of faith. Faith. But it is that faith being used that is so important in our lives. I've described faith a lot like muscles in your body. I've seen some men that had large muscular arms because they lifted heavy weights, weights that I've never lifted, and consequently, my arms never grew in strength to be able to do that. But little by little, they used their arms, and little by little, increased the weight, and those muscles just grew and grew till they were large muscular arms. Now, faith is that way. It is something God's given us, like our muscles. But, you know, if you put your arm in a sling and you carry it there for 6 weeks, 2 months, you know what will happen? When you take the sling off, very likely it'll fall to your side and be almost useless. You'll have to start working it. Get your strength back in that arm. See, muscles are to be used. And faith is given by God to be used. And so we are to take the faith, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and use it. The Bible talks about walking by faith in 2 Corinthians 5:7. I believe it's in Hebrews 11:38. The just shall live by faith. So we are to walk by faith each day. We are to live by faith each day. And when we are using our faith, out of the use of our faith, we grow to extend ourselves and by faith to do things we would never try to do without it. To say, well, God requires it. And I've got faith to believe His Word to be true. And if He wants me to do it, I'm going to endeavor to do it. So I'm going to use that faith in my life that it might be fruitful for God's glory. James 2:17 says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Goes on to say, you know, you show me with your faith with out your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. I'll show you that I can do these things by faith in God, by doing them. And so faith then begins to strengthen. In other words, becomes more of the can-do attitude. Well, I took God at His Word, and I extended myself, and I did that. I had faith to believe His Word, and to believe He wanted me to do it, and I did it. And God blessed me in doing it. And I felt His blessings, and it strengthens our faith and helps our faith to grow stronger with each passing day. So there is a sense of the need of faith in our lives. We've got to trust in God and say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And that's in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. What that means is, you know, sometimes there are things I don't understand and you don't understand. And if I wait till I understand how I can do certain things, I might wait all my life and never do them. If I had waited until I could figure it out and understand how I was going to get over my bashfulness and my shyness and get up in front of people when I was scared half to death to stand up in front of people, if I had to wait until I could figure all of that out, I might never have preached a sermon from the Word of God. But God blessed me with His presence. And that reassured my heart. And I've tried on the venture of faith to try to do other things. And that's what I'm encouraging in your life. Not my example, but the teaching of the Word of God to exercise that faith. Use that faith. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't wait till you can figure it out. There's a lot of things that's just too big for our minds. We're never going to figure it all out. But by faith to say, God said for me to do that. It's His teaching, His Word. And I'm going to endeavor to do it. Keeping your eyes upon the sovereign power of God, using the faith God put in your heart to trust God and His power and His strength. Then you begin to exercise and move forward into greater things in the service of the Lord. But there's a third point I want to cover. And that is that it's going to drive us to a lot of prayer. It's going to move us in that direction. It's going to be where we'll just feel like we need to talk to the Lord about that. I need to talk to God. I need to ask His help and His blessing. I know I can't do it on my own, but I'm going to talk to the Lord in prayer, and I'm going to ask His blessing. You might remember in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus taught us to pray. After this manner, the Lord said, "Pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." And went on through that little brief pattern for prayer that He taught us in the Sermon on the Mount. But He's teaching us there that we ought to pray to God. I remember, about halfway, I guess, or a little before that in my ministry, I went into hospital to visit with a lady. I'd been told, asked to go by and visit with her. And she was having surgery. And so I visited a few minutes, told her who it was and all that. And I said, "Would you like me to have prayer with you before I leave?" She looked at me rather startled. She says, "Is it going to be that bad?" I mean, it frightened her. It frightened her rather than consoling her. And I had to explain, no, but I just felt like we always need to pray for one another. But there are people who feel like, well, you know, I'm not having any problems in my life. I don't need to pray. Oh, we do need to pray. No matter how good life is, no matter how dark and bad life gets, we still need to pray. Because, see, that's our Heavenly Father. And we are His children. And He loves us greater than we'll ever fathom or understand on this earth. And with that great love, He tells us, we can cast all our cares upon Him as one who cares for us. He does. He cares about us. You know, I can tell you that. You know, I can prove that He does. If He didn't care about us, He would have just let us all die and be doomed to hell forever. But He loved us too much for that. He loved us enough. He planned from eternity past. He chose us in Christ Jesus. He predestinated that ultimately one day in heaven's glory, when we've been washed of the blood of Christ and born of the Spirit of God, one day in heaven's glory, we're predestinated to be conformed to the perfection of the image of His Son Jesus. That's how much God cared. And in addition to all of that, He planned. He gave to Jesus in the covenant of redeeming grace. He gave all the elect to Him to say, "They're yours, and their sin debt you'll have to pay for." And so He came into the world, born of the Virgin Mary, to have a body of flesh that could die. Because as eternal God, He could not die. But He could take a body of flesh and live on this earth. And that body, that perfect sinless body, could become our sacrifice for sins. And He died and paid for our debt of sin. Now, God would not have sent His only begotten Son into the world to save you if He didn't care for you. And Jesus would not have allowed the Romans to drive nails in His hands and feet and put a crown of thorns on Him. He would not have allowed all of that suffering and humiliation that He endured in order to go to the cross and there to die for our sins. If He did not love us, He wouldn't have done it. I think it's ample proof that He loves us. And it's what tells us His Word. Because He does love us. And He knows that the things He is telling us to do is good for us. When you were young, did your parents ever tell you to eat your vegetables? And you didn't want that. But as you grew into maturity, you learned in nutrition that it was good for you. It helped your body to grow and be strong. And you needed it for the sustenance of your body and for your physical growth. But see, that's why we can't lean on our own understanding. We don't understand why God tells us certain things we ought to do. But when we do them, they bless us. Immeasurably, they bless us. They fill our hearts with joy and gladness. And they make us want to come to the Lord and say, "Father, thank You. Thank You for blessing me to do it. It's been such a blessing in my life. I thank You." So what God tells us in His Word and commands us in His Word is for our good. It's for our good. And it takes a lot of prayer when you don't understand that. When you and I do not know why God wants us to do that. But we just take the prayer and we go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I don't understand. But I'm coming by faith. And I'm coming because I know You have great sovereign power. And I know You can do anything. I know You." You know, if God can make a donkey talk, He's pretty well able to help all of us do what we need to do, can't he? So, Lord, I'll come to you in faith. I'll come to trust your great power. I'm praying to you, Father, help me to be able to do what you've told me to do. Jesus taught a parable. It's recorded in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. It's about a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. He just, you know, he was it. He was number one, and his evidently all his thinking was about himself. And a very selfish guy. Didn't think about God, trust in God, didn't really care about other people. But there was a woman, a widow woman. She came to him and said, "Avenge me of my son." And he would not. But that woman came knocking on his door and saying, "Avenge me of my son, of my adversary. Avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me of my adversary." Till he got sick and tired of hearing about it. And he said, "I will do what she wants me to do. Because if I don't..." Now, he didn't say this. But I'm putting my words here. He was really thinking, "If I don't, she's going to drive me crazy. She's never going to let up. So I'm going to do what she wants me to do." But he did what she requested. Now listen, just before he gave that parable, he gave this verse. He taught a parable of this truth, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. To pray and not to faint. And the illustration is that with a woman coming and knocking on that judge's door and making her petition again and again, as to say, we too can go to the Father again and again and again about those things that burden our hearts and life. And we are to pray again and again and again. Because sometimes God's answer to our prayer is, "Wait a little while and then I'll give it to you." You just have to keep coming and saying, "Lord, I'm waiting. I'm trying to be patient, but I'm praying, Lord. I want your help. I need your help." I believe we should pray without ceasing. That means everywhere we are, we're to have a spirit of prayer on our heart. We're to talk to the Lord about things. Well, nobody even knows we're talking to the Lord about it. At work, driving down the highway, wherever, we can be talking to the Lord in prayer. And when we do that with faith and with trust in His power, then, brothers and sisters, a lot we're going to be able to accomplish that we didn't think we could. No matter what it is in life, whether it's in the spiritual realm or maybe some difficulty we are encountering, maybe through people who are in opposition to us. And I say that for this reason. I knew of a man years ago that had a neighbor who was really giving him trouble. He was not a Christian. His neighbor was not a Christian. And he asked a brother, he said, "Will you help me pray that God will make that situation different?" The brother assured him that he would. Months later, didn't come immediately, but months later, he went to the brother and he said, "Thank you for praying with me." The Bible does talk about two praying together about things. Said, "The situation's better. We're getting along nicely now. We're neighbors, getting along." God can help us in a lot of different ways. We need to be praying about all of them. With our faith, trusting in God for the blessings. And then we'll find that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, as God blesses us, let me come to summation like this. We can't take any praise and glory for it. It belongs to Him. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 14, that there was men said, "I'll go into such and city and I'll buy and sell for a year and I'll buy and sell and get gain." And he says, you know, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow." Then verse 15 says this. It says, we ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this or that. That's what he tells us. If the Lord willed, we'll do this or that. And that simply puts it in the hands of a God. While we may not understand, He does. And then when we pray, we will not be so easy to give up and so easily turned aside from those things until we say, "Well, the Lord has deemed I must not need that. And if it's not the Lord's will for me to have it now, maybe it will be later." And we wait on the Lord. And when God gives us those things we ask for, and blessings are enjoyed, then we must say, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, and yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. And that's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, the words of the Apostle Paul, who said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, is the same man who said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace was upon me, and I labored, but it wasn't me even then. I worked hard, but it was still the grace of the Lord who was with me. We are able then to do greater things, never for our glory, but always for the greater glory of God. And to face each day with this sense of optimism and hope to say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God help us to take His word in our hearts and be strengthened and encouraged by it today to do greater things in our lives than we've ever done before, for the glory of our Father and the glory of our Savior is mine.